Sorry.
Okay. Even though we've, I guess theoretically, been learning Maseches Bavasra for third practice this year, I think it's probably more apropos to say we've been learning Maseches Shev Shmaitza. Shev Shmaitza is the piece safer that is written by the Balak itself, which deals with Sveikis and Rose and Chazokis and Erechods and all the above. But the truth is that 95% of what we've been talking about has been in the realm of Digim Amunus. We are trying to be as loyal to Chesabat as possible. So today's sugya, really the last sugya, I think for Frazman for now, is going to take some of the klalim that we've been talking about and almost move them, borrow them, into the realm of Issur Heter, into the realm of questions that relate more to the particular issue we're going to talk about, issues of Kedushin, issues of Gevushin, who is considered to be an Eishes Ish, who is not an Eishes Ish, how do we know the woman is an Eishes Ish? So a lot of the klalim that we're going to talk about are familiar to us, but the applications are going to be slightly different. So we're going to begin with, skipped already to the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. So we'll start off with a brisa that appears. The brisa appears both in Bava Basra and in Ksubas. We're reading in Ksubas because the Gemara elaborates upon it as Ksubas. So Tanur Rabbanan, the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. Shnayim Omer Meis, Shnayim Omer Lo Meis. What a great surprise. We're talking about a tray, a conflict of two sets of Edom. We've spent a lot of time talking about when you have two sets of Edom contradicting each other in terms of the Edomopolis, but now we go to the realm of marriage. So we have two Edom who claim that Reuven died, and two Edom who claim that Reuven didn't die. My nafkamina, whether he died, nafkamina lahatras ishto, is his wife permitted to remarry. Four, shnayim omer misgasha. Another case, two Edom come and say that Reuven divorced his wife. Shnayim omer lo misgasha. We were there, and in the end, he never gave her the get. So we have a contradiction between two sets of Edom. How does the Beis Din pass it? So it's not a great surprise. It raises a little too nothing. The Beis Din is not going to let this woman remarry. You're 2-on-2. There's a 50-50 chance that she's still an Eishes Ish. But now the Bryce says something startling. And he says, but she didn't come to ask us. She found another Messiah to do. She found someone who's willing to marry her off. Low says this. So the Diyevin, once she's ready to get married, we're not going to make a fuss. We're not going to insist that the couple gets divorced. I think Mark quotes another Tana who potentially disagrees, but let me skip for a moment. So comes the Gemara, two lines from the bottom of this Mar Mokum, number two, and asks, what? They're not going to make me get divorced. Nichte treyu treyinu. We have a contradiction between two sets of Edom. Habo aleba asham toli koi. If a person will go ahead and be together with this woman, he's going to have to be a korban every time that they're together. Why is that? Very simple calculation. The violation of Eishes Ish is an Isser Koris. That happens to also be an Isser Misa, but it's an Isser Koris. And the rule is, anytime a person does an Isser Koris, albeit b'shogeg, unintentionally, he has to be a korban chatas. Anytime a person violates an Isser Koris b'shogeg, but he's not sure that he violated the Isser Koris b'shogeg, let's say, for example, he ate a piece of meat and he's not sure whether it was chaylev or not. So then there's another carbon for him, and that's the carbon of an asham tovah, so psukkah in Parshas Vayikra. So any and every time this fellow is going to marry this woman, we're going to say about him as follows. We don't really know whether she's an Eishes Ish. So any and every time they're together, it's going to be a suffek isakaris, which is going to mean he's going to have to bring a carbon asham tovah every time. It doesn't sit right with us. You're going to tell us that we're going to let a couple remain together, knowing full well that they're in effect violating an isofik isakaris every time? That's absurd. How could that be? So what the halacha should have been is, harezo lo tinase, v'imni says teitze. So what does the braisa say? Lo seitze, it's okay. So no problem. It's like tenth about the saying, a person has a piece of food on Pesach. We're not really sure whether it's chametz or not. So don't eat it, but if you eat it, it's okay. And keep on eating it, it's fine. Just keep on eating it, it's fine. It's a suffix. How can you let the person continue to violate the system? So come to Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, the end of the second Amar Gomes, Amar Rav Sheshes. When the Braisa says that she can remain married, not that she can remain married to a stranger, she can remain married to one of the Edim who testified that she's Muteris. Because that aide has a right to say, what do you mean? You want me to divorce her? What I'm doing is okay. I saw the husband die. I saw the husband give her a get. The fact that these two nikabubs were causing trouble and telling us a different story, what's that doing to me? Said, I know for a fact that she's divorced. I know for a fact that her husband died. So what's the shaila? Yes, the Gemara, that's great vis-a-vis the husband. He goofed up Hashem Dolly time up. But wait a second, she still has a son. The aide who saw the husband die, supposedly saw the husband give her a get, he has a right to say, boringly, I know for a fact, but then what happened? But she doesn't know. So from her vantage point, how can in the world could we let her remain married? She is violating a suffix and the rights every time. And the Gemara Belmer is boringly. She says that I trust that aide. I don't trust that. That's trying to cause me problems. I know for a fact, I know with certainty that my husband died. I know for a fact that my husband gave me a get. So I can't be great Gemara. It's a very, very startling Gemara on both fronts. So how do you paskim when you have what's called a trey trey? We don't know what to do. To wait and say one way, to wait and say another way. So the starting point is the suffix. It's a suffix Hashem told me. But the conclusion is, even though it's a suffix, if both parties involved in the shaila come forward and say, we know, then everything is okay, then everything is fine. So that's quite a chiddush.
Yeah. Is there a time frame or a statute between when Eden come and Dimachishan?
No, at least some.
So say now and in 10, 20 years. So
okay. That's going to be another story. Once Bezer and Paskin, she's Muteres, so that's actually a Sugin Sechabang of Tzumas. That may play a role. We have to wait on that a little bit till next year. We're going to say Gittin. That's going to come up and says Gittin Daf Gimel. So yeah, we have a little while for that one.
Two things.
Coming attractions, yeah.
Two things on the Adas. One is, it's not Beshoge, it's Bemezid, because Kulpern's only Beshoge, but he's doing it Bemezid.
Well, it's not really Bemezid. They really think that she's Muteres.
But it doesn't take away the mate.
She thinks that the aid would tell the truth. The one who said she the husband died.
That's
still considered the shogeg.
And the second aspect, why isn't he no gay of the dover and say
that? Oh, very good. Excellent. Very good. So that's a sugi in the end of the second breath of the Yivamas,
yeah.
About when a person comes and does something together with somebody else. So that's not really no gay of the dover. Because if I'm the only person involved in the mouth of this woman, so then Basin's got to think that, wait a second. He's coming forward with something, and then he's going to marry her. It's a little bit fishy. But here he does it together with somebody else. So we assume that they're probably telling the truth. Two people together are probably telling the truth. Those are sugyas of chashash, of sheker. Those are sugyas in the end of the second part of Yivamos. When we are concerned, when we're not concerned. So the bottom line is, the Gemara, when it posed the question, wait a second, how in the world can we let this couple remain married? So the Gemara invoked a sugya harezim asham toloi. That was the Gemara's question. Asham toloi. Now, Asham Tolui is a very unique korban. It's a korban that is brought for a suffek iser karis. So comes Tosas, and a third of the Ramah comes and says, wait a second, this is not a suffek iser karis. This is a vaday iser karis. Why is it a vaday? There are two sets of eidim. Why is this a vaday iser karis? So Tosas invokes a sugya that appears in the third breath of Masechet Yevamos. It's a sugya that's called Trey Utrey, when you have two sets of Adam contradict each other, but you have a chazaka in one direction. You have a status quo that speaks and points in one direction. So herein lies the similarity to things we've been talking about for the last couple of months already. We know the basic Torah principle, when you don't know what to do, ever suffer, so we call what's called shtelem chazaka, you follow the chazaka. Whatever you did yesterday, that's what you continue doing today. Whatever you did last week, you continue doing today. There's a story about, actually it really happened, not a religion. There was a certain shul that they were arguing about something. What do you say, tachrin today? They're fighting and yelling. Half the shul screaming one way, screaming the other way. So they come to the rav, and, you know, to the dayan, and they, what do we do? So the rav turns to them and says, what'd you do last year? You do the year before. So he said, last year we fought. The year before we also fought. I said, Chazoka the shoes, you fought, you fight. So continue to fight this year also. So we know that the starting point in Allah is you always follow the Chazoka. So come tell us and does the math. Wait a second. We have a woman in front of us and we don't know what she is. Two Adam are saying that she's divorced. Two Adam are saying she's not divorced. Or two Adam are saying the husband died. Two Adam are saying the husband didn't die. We have a suffering, we have a latest suffering. What did we do an hour ago? What did we do a week ago? What did we do 10 years ago? So this woman has what we call a cheskas eishes ish. We know she was married 6 months ago. We know she was married 2 months ago. We know she was married 2 hours ago. And now we have four eight that walk in the base. They don't contradict each other. So yes, tells us what we should do is we should follow the chazaka. If you follow the chazaka, then the correct korban that the Gemara should have asked was not Oshem Toli, but rather korban chatos. Because an Oshem Toli is reserved for doubtful situations. Chatos is reserved for certain situations. So yes, tells him the third of the Gemara comes. Habol Oshem Toli, but Tema, the Bechatos Koi. The maskina we break down achem. The Gemara says in Yevamos, the treyu trey speaking to Rabban with the raisa och bechazaka. Whenever you have a treyu trey min haTorah, you follow what the original status was. And second, Moltosis asks, "Umay mishani namik kishnis lechem yedeha." How could the Gemara answer that as long as she's married one of the eidim, everything is okay? Says Tosfos, that makes sense if it was a suffix. It was a 50-50. And the 1-8 says, I know for sure that she's Mutaris. Then we can understand, we got a kvesh, we can turn the other way. But if based in Paskin's Mutaris Vada, with absolute conviction and certainty, this woman is an Ashes ish, because the Chazaka, the status quo, dictates that. Eid Nami Bechenekoi says, this is not a Shafei, this is not a carbon. The guy can say, well, the carbon doesn't speak to me. He's Chayav, he's based in. So he's violating Eishes Ish. So how in the world could the Rishon say, Lo Seitzei? So the Omer Beit Dam says, tell us the following. The Chazoka, the Isha Daika Uminsaba, Mara Lo Laha Chazoka. The Mehai Tabinami, Sharina Lucky Lake, Adam Cloud, Isha Bechas Eishes Ish. So the Dam says, a loaded, loaded statement. Comes to Beit Dam and says, we have to take out our blackboard, make some columns in terms of what's for this marriage, what's against this marriage. We have woman Plonis, we have Rachel on the board. And Rachel's coming to ask us a shayla. I want to know, rabbis, can I marry Reuven? That's my question. So let's see what's in your favor, what's against you. So on the one hand, you have two eidim saying that you received to get. Okay, that's a check in the column of Mutters. On the other hand, you have two eidim saying that you didn't receive a get. That's a check in the bed. That's an X. That's in the bad column. So at that point, no one's going to pass the notaries. Let's see how much further we can analyze this question. It says, Tosfos, there's something really, really bad pointing against her. And that is the chazoka meikara, the status quo. She used to be an Eishes Ish. Before these four eidim came to the basin this morning, we assumed that she was an Eishes Ish. We had no question even. So she has a chazoka against her. This is not boding well for her. So she's got one set of eidim yes, one set of eidim no, and the chazaka is pointing with absolute certainty that no. Comes a bit of time to the rescue. Comes a bit of time and says, there's something in her favor. What's in her favor? Isha daika uminsava. At the end of the day, we don't really know whether the husband died. We weren't privy, so we don't really know. We have two sets of eidim saying one way, two sets of eidim saying another way. Here we do something startling. We actually trust the woman to do her own homework. We say in the back of our minds, if she is coming forward and saying, I'm ready to remarry, she has probably done her own background check. She's hired her own detectives and found out the husband really, truly is no longer alive. We didn't do the work. You know what? We didn't do the work. We don't have such an incentive to do work. We're not really sure what's going on. But she has tremendous incentive to do the proper homework. Because if Chalila v'Chalila, her husband is still alive, and she remarries somebody else, she is in huge trouble. Those who are learning some of the sugars in the end of the Masechta Yevamos to acquaint ourselves with what some of the trouble is. If you have a married woman who goes ahead and tells us the story, yeah, my husband died, no problem, I'm remarrying. And she goes ahead and she remarries, and it turns out that the husband was still alive. She now has to get divorced from the second husband, as well as from the first husband. She ends up with nothing. She ends up karech mikan mikan. So comes Tosfos and says, that's what's called the principle isha daika uminsava. A woman's going to do the extra, the due diligence to try to figure out what the facts are. And that chazoka isha daika uminsava is actually working in her favor. We as the Bezim don't know what to do. We would never sanction a woman to remarry unless we know that her husband died. we know that the husband died. You know what taught us that the husband died? We're trusting her. So now when we go back to the drawing board, we go back to the two columns, what's in our favor once again, sir? So let's see what we have. One set of Adam saying the husband died. Check. One set of Adam saying the husband's still alive. X. A Chazaka Mekara saying that the husband was alive until recently. She wasn't there. She's still an hour ago. X. 2-1. But now, in the other box, says Rabbeinu Tam, is this fantastic proof called Isha Daika Umintzava, that a woman most probably did her due diligence, most probably did her homework, and therefore Bezdin could say with, not with certainty, but with comfort level of, the husband is in fact most probably not alive. Now, as we know already, whenever we say that word most, whenever we say the word probably, and we say the phrase together, most probably, what we really mean is the Torah concept of rov. We know that there's a basic Torah principle of you follow the majority. We don't know what to do. We've seen this hundreds of times already. This year, in previous years, we have a latest asafik. I have a piece of meat, and I have no idea where the meat came from. 9 out of 10 stores are kosher. I'm allowed to eat them. Or I have a latest asafik. I have no idea. I have an animal in front of me. The animal's alive, and it's producing milk. If that animal is a trefa, if that animal happens to have a hole in its stomach, that milk is trefa. That's called a trefa. Do I have to be concerned with that? Well, the answer is no. Haraya, we drink milk. We drink milk. Nobody does. We don't do ultrasounds on animals before we drink the milk. We are assuming, even with all my computer models from the 70s, we don't do our, we just trust, we hope and pray. Going home tonight, I'm going home this morning having a bowl of cereal and a cup of coffee with milk. We are hoping and praying that the milk came from an animal that wasn't the trefa. How can we be so casual and so lenient in our halacha? The answer is that's rove. That's the principle of following rove.
Would there be a distinction in Tosis's question, depending on what order the Aiden came? In other words, you have a chazaka. If the person of Aiden come and say that her husband is no longer with us, chazaka has been removed at that point. It doesn't matter that the new Aiden that come and be back for those two Aiden.
But the problem is, but the two Aiden who contradict each other now create that unique status of treo-tre, which the Gemara of Amos, at least according to Tosis, seems to say, treo-tre, there's a stalemate, and now you go back to what you had before. So the chazaka is never totally gone. The chazaka was ignored in the presence of two sets of Edom contradicting it. But the minute that those Edom themselves get contradicted, then Chazaka doesn't create some
Edom. So it could have been over 10 years you could have a Chazaka.
That's the discussion we're talking about before, about at what point do we say that the game is over? So right now the game is still not over. Right now, Basin is still trying to deliberate about what happened.
Rabbeinu Tam's Raya seems so weak because Ish Daikim and Nispa shouldn't come into context against Edos or Chazaka. Well, first of all, and rope doesn't work because we said stores, but if it isn't fixed, rope was not going
to
work.
Okay. We got a lot of work to do. We got loads of work to do on this from Rabbeinu Tam. But again, this is just the form. This is the structure of Rabbeinu Tam trying to say. So again, from the Adam's vantage point, we can't budge. We have two Adam one way, two Adam another way. We basically stalemate. So now we have to start to put in other factors, other halachic determinations. This is what I meant when I said we're learning Masechah Shesh Maitza. We're trying to figure out. I have on the one hand the Chazaka Meikar, status quo points against me. On the other hand, Isha Daiku Mitzvah, which we think is a robe. It sounds like it's a robe. That robe ultimately overcomes that Chazaka of the original Chazaka of the Chesed Issa, the Chesed Seish. We shouldn't take robes lightly. As we mentioned before, we do use robes just about all areas, almost all areas of Allah. We live our lives based on robes. Not for robe, we wouldn't be able to drink milk. We wouldn't be able to eat meat if not for robe. Because the Rishonim tell us that whenever I shecht an animal, nobody opens up the animal from head to toe to see if it has a hole in the brain, a hole in the heart, a hole in the... The only thing that we check for are lungs. But that's for a different reason. The rest of the internal organs, nobody checks. What do you mean? What do you check? Maybe it's a trefa. You're right, could be. It's possible that it's a trefa, but it's not probable. And therefore, the robe is strong enough to permit us to rely on it. So all of us rely on robe in some shape or form. There was once a fellow calls up a certain hashgacha, and he wants to know, he's trying to see how strict they are. So he says, does this hashgacha rely on robe? That was the question. Do you rely on robe? So the person was answering the question, realized that the person was calling didn't really know too much to ask such a question. So he said, do you rely on rope? No, I'm extra careful. I don't rely on rope. Really? You don't rely on rope? Did you ever drink milk? Did you ever eat meat? Did you ever live your life? You rely on rub. I don't want to rely on chazaka. Chazaka maker, our status quo. I'm so from or hadrim and hadrim, extra mach, but I don't want to rely on chazaka. Really? Every morning you check your tefillah? How do you know your tefillah kosher? Because they were kosher 5 years ago when the surfer checked them. The only way you know they're kosher is based on chazaka maker. Everybody relies on rope. Everyone relies on chazaka for something. You can't live your life without relying on rope, without relying on chazaka. But
why is it so simple that we trust her? We say there's a rope that she did her own doing. Why can't Beis Din say, on what basis did you get married? She says this, and they investigate, and they can evaluate her research. Why do we assume that her research was good without validating that research?
So we based on the Beis Din vantage point, we did just about all we could do. We have two Eidim and two Eidim. So that's it. So we can't budge based on that. Assuming that all four Eidim are kosher Eidos, there is nothing we could possibly do from the with the tools of Beis Din to determine what's going on. However, the woman is not bound by legalities. The woman could do her research, and she could come to the conclusion that those guys were telling me that my husband's alive. They're trying to get it back on me. They don't like me. Now, she'll come up with a lot of extra legal kinds of determinations. It's not even really within the realm of Beis Din to decide. So the woman's going to do that extra research. So in terms of the pure model of halacha, what we really have on the board is three different factors in halacha. As we've said many times, we have leidos ha-sfeikus, we have sfeikus in halacha. What do you do? What mechanism do we do to resolve doubts? So one of the mechanisms is eidim, so that's failing us because we have a contradiction. Another mechanism is chazaka, that's pointing against her. The other mechanism is rove, and the rove is actually working in her favor. So Tosa says that don't make a light of this Isha Daika Mitzvah. Don't laugh at this Isha Daika Mitzvah. So Tam says, we use this all the time. We use this in situations when there are no Eidim. What is the halacha when you have a woman who's married, she's a Cheskes Eshezish, and she herself walks into the basement and says that her husband died? So the answer is we believe her. How is she believed? How are you talking? The Mishnah says, you know, she's believed to say that her husband died. It's a Chazaka. They've been married for the last 50 years. What do you mean she says that the husband died? So ultimately, the Gemara explains this is also based on the fact of Isha Daika Mitzvah. She is most probably telling us the truth because the consequences of her lying are so detrimental. It's going to cost us so much down the line if she was lazy and didn't do her research. So we assume that she's telling the truth. But in the pure model of halacha, what Rabbi Tam basically told us is that a chazaka that's against you and a rove that's in your favor, the rove overcomes the chazaka. Now, this is not the first time that we've seen this. This is actually machlekes haTanaim. This is actually going to be one of the early sugyos of Maseches Gittin. A general question of halacha. I have a piece of food. The chazaka says I can't eat the food. The cheskes, chazaka mekar, the status quo is I can't eat the food. But the rove says that I can eat the food. So we paskin la'alocha basically ruba the chazaka, ruba adif. That robe has the ability to overcome a chazaka. That's exactly what Rabbi Tam is saying here. That the robe of Isha Daiku Minsuba can overcome the chazaka of the cheskes eshezish. Why is that so? What's the svar? What's the rationale for that principle? Why is that a robe can overcome a chazaka? So we spoke about this a little bit in the past. There are different approaches to this. So one of the classic approaches to this is actually given by the Sheikh Schmeitz himself. The Sheikh Schmeitz explains that chazaka is great and wonderful, but it's like reading yesterday's newspaper. Because chazaka really tells you nothing about today. Chazaka tells you what the world was like back in the 1970s, that's all. And we're working with an assumption that things probably haven't changed. We all know things sometimes do change, sometimes do something they don't. So chazaka is kind of by default when you have no up-to-date information, so you go with the latest possible information that you do know. Rove says, Rav Chanan is much better than that. Rove is the here and now. Rav Chanan didn't use these terms. He lived back in the 1930s. You go, it's like real time. Rove is the events are unfolding in front of you. The rove is here now. The nine stores are here and now. The rove animals are shechted. The rove women are telling the truth. Rove women are ishadaka mitzvah. That's real time information. When you have real time information against some chazok of 50 years ago, obviously, the up-to-date information is going to win. That's how the Sheikh Schmeitz presents it. Rav Chanan has a little bit of a different twist. Rav Chanan Wasserman explains that a rove is what we call an halacha, a biror. A rove is a proof. There's a 90% chance that this is true. That's a proof that it's probably true. A chazaka is not a biror b'chlal. A chazaka just means We don't know what to do. We have no way of asking anyone to do. So the Torah says, you throw your hands up and say, whatever you did yesterday, continue to do today. Whatever you did last year, continue to do today. Is that a proof? It's not a proof whatsoever. That's what we call it in Lomdus. It's a din hanhaga. The Torah says, act the following way. You're allowed to act the following way, but it's not a proof. It says in Bechonon, when you have a rove on one hand, which is a proof, and you have a din hanhaga on the other hand, obviously you're going to follow the proof over the din hanhaga. So no matter which of the Gedolei Achronim, no matter which lashon, which nusach you want to use, the bottom line is, Rabbeinu Tam is saying the same thing, that the rov of Isha Daika Mitzvah is overcoming the chazova of the Chesed Seish. So at least we have a fighting chance in the sugya to understand why, how in the end we let this couple remain together. We kind of look the other way because it's not a real Isser Kares, it's not a real Isser Chata, it's not a real Isser Chiyav Mishas Beisdin. It's a little bit less, it's toned down than that. And ultimately, the mechanism that's toning it down is the Isha Daika Mitzvah. So for Mitzvah Shema on Monday, we'll try to have a share this coming Monday. We'll try to see a different approach in Rishon and Tarvis. So we'll mess up the schedule. So for Monday, we'll have a shiur. Tuesday, we'll play by ear. But Tuesday will be, I think, the end. But Wednesday's ready for Chodesh. So we'll have it either Monday slash Tuesday or Monday without Tuesday.